We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, in the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be joined in this next hour by Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross. And we were joined in the last hour by Dr. Richard Cummings. And again, if you have not read his article on Lockheed stock and two smoking barrels, I think the information contained in that article in regard to the money-driven character of our present policy in Iraq is well worth your time. This is grim stuff, and it gets at the bottom of things that are rarely seen by the rest of us in regard to the subterranean world that guides American foreign policy and American domestic policy. And again, just to highlight some of the things that Dr. Cummings said that at the beginning of the previous hour, when you look at Lockheed's deal with China on missiles, you look at the F-35 system and the role played by Lockheed in the adaptation of that system in conjunction with BAE systems, the rise in Lockheed stock from $11 to $75, and the role of people like Stephen Hadley, Bruce Jackson, the so-called Committee for the Liberation of Iraq, Randy Shuneman, Powell Moore, Douglas Feith, Richard Pearl, Paul Wolfowitz. We begin to see the extent to which, in Dr. Cummings' view, it's not ideology driving foreign policy, it's money driving the ideology, which in turn is driving foreign policy. And what this directly relates to is the whole issue of war profiteering and the massive amount of cynicism that has to be involved in anything of this magnitude. And again, it begs the question as to what this is doing to our larger defense posture and military readiness. It begs the question as to what's just around the corner with Iran. And if we think we've got problems now with this no-win war of counterinsurgency in Iraq, I would be the first to suggest that I think a preemptive attack on Iran is not simply the wrong move morally, but is the wrong move politically and militarily in regard to all that will be wrought if, in fact, this happens. We are joined in this last hour by Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross. If you're not familiar with Mark, you need to be. He has a site, Crescent and Cross, which is absolutely phenomenal in terms of the information that it presents from the inside and what is really going on in the Middle East and how that relates to Zionism and the State of Israel and how that relates to the influence of neoconservatives and the foreign policy of the United States. Mark, how are you?
Fine. How are you, Marcus?
Good. What do you, in terms of what is now going on as of late, I noticed this morning on CNN that there was apparently a pretty significant conflict around Najaf between Americans on the one hand and the insurgency forces on the other. The mainstream media is reporting that allegedly there was a plot to kill Ayatollah al-Sistani and to kill some other Shiites in order to deepen the civil war in that country. What do you make of all of this? And in the wake of what's happened since the first Tuesday in November, isn't it pretty clear that we're not only in a mess, but that there are certain forces at work in and through the American government that virtually guarantee that Iran is going to be next in this whole thing?
Yeah, in the first case, you know, you mentioning the election in November, I think by now people should put to rest any hope that the Democrats are going to do anything to bring an end to this war. All the promises and rhetoric that they gave us leading up to the election, notwithstanding. What we have to keep in mind, and this is certainly a hard swallow for the American people, is we have to understand that our government is not ours. It has been bought by the highest bidder, and it just in this case happens that this highest bidder is not the American people.
We'll be back with Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll take that point up with Mark when we come back. Stay tuned.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Back. This is Mark Hancock's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest in this final hour of today's show is Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross. Mark, talking about the fact that our government is not our own and that we do not own our government leads me to something that I read in the first hour of the show from totallyjewish.com, quoting Senator John Edwards as saying that the Iran threat is serious. He said this to an audience in Israel, and as you look through the article, it's pretty clear that the line that Edwards is taking on this conflict, including what's going on in Lebanon, is pretty much identical to what emanates from Tel Aviv and many of the leading neoconservatives in the United States. Are we to see this, particularly on top of what has now been revealed about Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, the connections of Hillary Clinton and so forth, are we to see Edwards as a microcosm of the larger problem, and that is that the Israeli lobby basically has co-opted all of these people and that they're all doing their just obeisance to that lobby before the 2008 primary start?
Yeah, absolutely. This is, this is one of the things I run into often when dealing with Americans and trying to get into a logical, intelligent, substantive discussion about our current political situation, they really have a difficult time embracing the idea that all of these old, you know, what I call relics now of our political system, they have a difficult time believing that the situation has changed. They think that the America of today is the same as the America of 200 years ago, and this simply is not the case. Presently, it's certainly been this case for many decades, our government is held firmly in the grip of a hostile foreign power. And whether it's Edwards, whether it's Kerry, whether it's Hillary Clinton, you look at the list and you read the press, whether it's the Jewish press, whether it's coming out of Israel, whether it emanates here in the United States, they're very brazen about talking about the power that they exert over the American political system. I was reading an article this morning on Ynet, which is an internet publication that emanates in Israel, and there were several articles talking about which American potential president would be best for Israel. And you know, as you read these articles, they do not talk about this in any kind of way that, well, we hope that so-and-so would get in because it would be good for Israel. They're talking about who is going to get in and when this person gets in, what Israel can expect. And, of course, the underlying message to all of this is that no one is getting in unless they receive that stamp of approval that says, you know, Zionist inspected and approved. So, you know, this is something that it's like dealing with any terminal sickness or any condition that a person has to deal with. The first step in dealing with it is to be honest, and you have to come to grips with exactly what it is. Simply living in denial or thinking that you can make deals and not deal with this thing on a realistic basis is just a waste of time. And Americans, until they come to grips with the fact that their government is not theirs, and that the media is not working in the best interests of the American people, until they come to grips with this, we're not going to get anywhere.
Yes. Do you think the war in Iran that's about to happen would have anything in the way of a silver lining? I mean, I'm thinking about what Dr. Richard Cummings and I talked about in the previous hour and the role that the Lockheed Martin Corporation has apparently played in regard to what we've been doing in Iraq. Now, you start extrapolating this to a model where we would attack Iran from the air, where there would presumably be a pretty significant loss of life, because I don't see any way that you can avoid massive civilian casualties if you're going to be using tactical nuclear weapons against these 12 to 20 sites, nuclear sites, power sites that are talked about from time to time in the media. If that happens, and if we subsequently see a situation where the administration attempts to put additional American and British boots on the ground in Iran, which, again, is many times the size of Iraq, you're talking about the difference between 25 million and 70 million in population, that the kind of catastrophe that would result from this policy, do you think it would produce a backlash?
You know, I'd like to hope that it would, but you know, I mean, we have to keep in mind that we have lived in a managed economy now for nearly a century, where important and powerful people within the financial realm can decide whether America is going through a boom or whether America is going through a bust. And I think at this point, you know, and I hate to be so pessimistic about this, but having dealt with enough Americans and had enough discussions on this topic, I really don't think that they are going to be moved in any kind of substantive way until things get really bad for them personally. Talking about things in a theoretical model, as far as being objectively good or evil, they generally are not moved by these things, and it covers the entire stratum of American society, from the bottom to the top, whether they're well-educated people or whether they're not very well-educated at all. It really is just a remnant of people who are looking at this thing that is going on now in Iraq and saying in an objective moral sense, this is wrong. You listen to the conversations that take place in in the supermarkets and other places where, you know, your average Americans hang out, and they really are not talking about these things. Now, granted, I'm living in an area of the country where it basically is Bush territory, and you're not going to hear a whole lot of negative discussion about it. But generally, based upon what I see in the American society, people are not as personally bothered by this as they should be. And so, yeah, I'd like to be able to say that it's going to cause a backlash, but I think until this thing turns around and bites them in a very personal way, I don't think that they're going to take much interest in it. I think if the bombing campaign goes off well, meaning that we sustain relatively small numbers of casualties, I think that they'll chalk it up as another sign from God that this thing was ordained by him and that we're supposed to be doing it.
Yeah, I tell you, I look at that whole scenario, and it seems to me that it would take a couple of things. One would be a major economic downturn as a result of this, accompanied by an amazing amount of political blowback abroad. The other factor in this that I think would have to enter into play in order for there to be a wider public discontent and backlash against this whole situation would be the reimposition of a draft. Again, the economy and the draft, both of those things would have to operate, in my view, in tandem in order for there to be a different reaction to what we have seen thus far, which has largely been passivity on the part of the public.
Yes, it's true. I mean, this is what happens when people surrenders their free will, their free choice, their free independent thinking, and they surrender it over to a media conglomerate, as I said, that is firmly in the grips of this foreign hostile power. I hate to be so pessimistic, but I really think that, I liken it to a person who has a problem with drinking. And, you tell this person, listen, you got to get a handle on this thing. Otherwise, it's just going to cause you a lot of trouble. You're going to lose your job. You're going to wind up getting into a wreck. You're going to hurt somebody. You're going to have trouble with the law. But this person is feeling great because he's got a steady supply of his poison. And not until it actually does come to pass that some of these things jump up and bite him is he going to start to pay attention. And I say this with a heavy heart. You know, I love my country, and I want to see my country prosper, not the least of which is because, this is the place where my family and friends reside. But as I said, we have to be realistic. It's not 1776, and we're not fighting the British. And so for people to apply the same rules and the same model that existed, over 200 years ago when there was this thing known as the American character and the American spirit, and to say, oh, we're going to come out of this just fine, I think that people such as these need to take off the rose-colored glasses and see that it's not fine, and we really are on the brink of potentially unprecedented disaster, not just for the American people, but for the world at large.
Yeah, that's definitely my reading of the whole thing, too. You know, looking at this whole thing then culturally, you and I have talked from time to time, both on the air as well as off the air, about this whole issue of the alliance of the so-called mainstream Christian right and their anointed leaders with the Israeli lobby. To what extent do you think that alliance has not only been a key factor in promoting this expansionistic foreign policy in the Middle East, but to what extent do you think that this alliance has muted the conservative Christian witness against the cultural decline in this country?
Well, the first thing that I would say, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, I know that this is something that I say in all of my discussions, but we really have to go back to this man named Jesus and the things that he told us when he was alive. And we need to pay particular attention to the conflict that existed between his ideas and the ideas of his enemies known as the Pharisees.
We'll be back. Hold your thought, Mark. We will be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We had Dr. Richard Cummings of Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative on this show in the second hour. And in this third and final hour, we have Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross, and we've been talking about all kinds of things that don't point to a very good situation either in the Middle East or in the domestic United States when it comes to the influence of the Israeli lobby and the tentacles that they have that seem to find their reach into every avenue in American life. Mark, before the break, we were talking about the whole issue of culture and the way in which the cultural declension of the United States has been duly noted by certain figures on the American Christian right who, in the main, don't seem to want to talk too much about who some of the major players have been in that cultural declension. Take it away.
Yeah, as I was saying, we really have to go back to this man named Jesus and this struggle that he was in the middle of when he lived in what was at that time Palestine, and the struggle between him and his ideological enemies known as the Pharisees. Now, he warned us clearly, time and again. He said, beware of these people and beware of their influence. of course, Jesus, in typical Semitic fashion, used a lot of analogies and symbols. And he said, beware of the leaven of these people. Now, if you think about the imagery that he used of the leaven, this is yeast. This is what people put into bread in order to make it swell up and appear bigger than it really is. And he said, you know, all it needs is just a little bit of this leaven. And you get in there, and it will work its way throughout the entire lump of dough. And so, you know, in essence, what the Christian world has done, and I lump in all of Christendom in this, it isn't just, you know, those whom we term the Christian Zionists in America. It really is the entire Christian world that has foolishly allowed this leaven to be worked into its society, whether it's in the area of politics, whether it's culture, whether it's morality. You can't go to any Christian country in the world and not see the effects of this leaven in it. And so, you know, in my opinion, what we are witnessing here is the validation of the very things Jesus warned us about. And, you know, not wanting to go too far out on a limb here, we basically are seeing the fulfillment of all of the warnings and the prophecies that we were left concerning this time period that we refer to as the end times or the apocalypse. You know, the same people who Jesus, you know, fought against for 3 years, the same people who challenged him and put him to death, it is the same group of people today, the same ideology, the only difference being that in the interim of the last 2,000 years, this ideology has had the chance to ferment and to really be distilled and purified so that its potency is much stronger than it was, say, 2,000 years ago. And so, you know, when Jesus asked out loud, he said, you know, when the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith left on earth? It pretty much describes what we have today. When Jesus was saying, you know, this is my message, and you have to take all of it. You can't take just part of it and then leave the other part out. And that includes his very caustic warnings and caustic words against this ideology, which at the time was known as Pharisaical Judaism. And so for these Christians today to say, well, we're going to hold on to all the sweet things that Jesus had to say, but we're going to leave the bitter things out, in essence, what they have done is to make a deal with his enemies. And Christianity today now is paying the price for it.
Yes. And in terms of the remnant of people out there who, in essence, have not bowed the knee to Baal, what kinds of things do they do now, or what kinds of things do they do with even greater fervor, since this quite clearly seems to be the case? What would you recommend?
Well, I mean, you and I have discussed this many times. It's a very difficult position for people like us to be in. It's a very difficult world for us to live in. It's like, you know, living in a toxic environment. You know, every day it becomes more and more difficult to practice this thing, this purest form of Christianity. You know, today what's expected of Christians is that they become Judeo-Christians, that they take whatever message that Jesus left and that it be put through this process of removing anything that is critical of Judaism or critical of this thing known as the Jewish agenda and to take it out of it. And so it is a very difficult time. But then again, you know, you look at the warnings that Jesus left us. He said it's going to be difficult. And so he said, but just hold on, just, you know, stay the course and be as faithful as possible, and I will not leave you, I will not abandon you, and in the end, you will see me vindicated, you will see our revolution triumph in the end. And so that is really what I guess the message is that we are supposed to hold on to our hope.
We will be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross. We will return.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest in this final hour is Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross, talking about a whole series of things related to the Israeli lobby and their influence in foreign policy, as well as in the domestic American political scene. Mark, I saw an article today in Yahoo News talking about the U.S. pledging $770 million in aid for Lebanon, in what the article indicates is an attempt to shore up the government of Prime Minister Sianora. What's your take on this and on the Lebanese situation generally?
Well, first of all, you have to remember it is a typical situation that has existed. You know, we or one of our proxies go and destroy someplace, and then we come along and knowing that these people are desperate, and we offer to bail them out and to rebuild that which we destroyed. So the destruction of Lebanon at the hands of Israel would not have been possible were it not for the Americans. And you know, this is typically how we have gotten countries and governments of the world to bend their knees to us and to our agenda. The Israeli mind. I know there are a lot of people today who are trying to sell this idea that really America is controlling Israel and that it, you know, that the tail actually wags the dog. But this is not the case. Now, Lebanon in general, what we have to keep in mind is that this is the destruction of Lebanon, and bringing it under the heel of the Zionist agenda has always been a part of this this plan in the Middle East. And the recent destruction of it, I hate to sound cynical, but for all to me, what it appears something that was rooted in plain old
talking about that story, the U.S. pledging $770 million in aid for Lebanon. This is apparently designed to bolster Prime Minister Fuad Sianoura and in his power struggle with Hezbollah. And I think Mark Lynn was trying to make the point as to who was directly involved in the destruction in that country to begin with.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me, Mark?
Yes, I can hear you now. Go ahead, Mark.
No, I'm sorry. This is I'm up here in frozen North Idaho. The reception can be somewhat touch and go. So anyway, you know, like I said, what we have to keep in mind is that when you understand that the bigger agenda behind Zionism is not just this small little piece of land along the eastern shores of the Mediterranean, but rather to that it encompasses all of the lands really between the Nile and the Euphrates River, then you come to understand why some of these things, such as the bombardment of Lebanon, took place this past summer, and why these other things taking place in the region are going on today. It's much bigger than simply a small little slice of land. And I think this is one of the things that Jesus was trying to warn us when he was telling us about these people. You know, he said, you know, it's like he said, I send you out as sheep among wolves, and so therefore, be as wise as serpents. Go ahead and be as meek as doves, but also be as wise as serpents. And so, until you understand the longer and the far-reaching goals of this thing known as Zionism, that it's not just for a homeland for the Jews, but rather it is international in its scope. You know, until you understand that, then a lot of these things are not going to make sense, and you will easily fall into the trap of believing what the Jewish lobby tells us in terms of the Muslims, Islamic extremism, terrorism, and all the rest of that.
The maps that I have seen from time to time that show this so-called Greater Israel stretching from the Nile to the Euphrates, and those maps, some of which are late 19th century, others have been produced in a time frame leading right up to the time that the State of Israel was created. What percentage of the people in the Zionist movement worldwide do you think still support that idea of a greater Israel going literally from the Nile to the Euphrates?
Well, it doesn't matter what these people support. When you're talking about the average Israeli or the average Jew, the average Israeli, the average Jew, they basically do what they're told by their leaders. The average Israeli, the average Jew, you know, if he were left to his own devices, he would just probably choose to lead a peaceful life and not live in constant conflict with his neighbors. The problem is the same that it has always been, which is their leaders. You look at when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, during what we call Holy Week, and he was greeted as a great prophet. They were laying palm trees palm leaves down in front of him, treated him as a king. A week later, these same people were calling for him to be crucified. Now, what was the changed all of that. It was the influence of the leaders of these people. So as far as the average Jew, the average Israeli, they don't have the kind of far-reaching designs that their leaders do. It really is the leadership that you have to keep in mind. And when it comes to the leadership, they really do take this business seriously of Greater Israel and the whole idea of God's chosen people destined to rule the world and all the rest of that. They are the ones that we have to keep an eye on, just as Jesus instructed us to do.
So it would be reasonable to assume then that Netanyahu is one example, and any of the leaders, the top leadership of both the Likud and the Labor parties in Israel would be on board with this idea that their borders, in effect, should encompass the territory between the Nile and the Euphrates.
Absolutely. And this is why, to this very day, Israel has no declared borders. So whether it is a left-leaning government that has been in power or whether it's a right-leaning government, you're not going to hear a peep from either side calling for declared borders, because they know the backlash that would ensue from drawing these borders on a map and saying this is what we consider Israel with Iraq and northern Saudi Arabia, all between the Nile and the Euphrates. So they realize that there's only so far that they can go in their audacity and in their brashness. And so, they know what's going on. Which is the oil, okay? Israel would love to be able to get its hands on that oil and to be able to dictate economic terms to the rest of the world. You know, Israel really doesn't produce anything. It is a parasite state. If it weren't for the blackmail that she holds over the United States, all of that money that she gets every year, Israel would shrink a balloon. So to be able to get her hands on that oil certainly would do a lot to bolster the viability of this state.
So basically, if I read this thing, then the Israeli situation with the Gaza and the West Bank is not simply a case of not wanting to seriously negotiate with the idea that those territories, at least, would be returned to the Palestinians. But the other reason that they're not negotiating in terms of the Gaza and the West Bank is that that's just a small parcel of the larger picture, which is the area from the Nile to the Euphrates.
Yes, this is true. But the other mind is this. Now, certainly, you have people who are true believers. Are very practical in that they see that there are great benefits politically, whatever, to holding on to Gaza. Now, somebody would ask, well, what possible good could come from holding on to Gaza? There's nothing of any strategic benefit to that. But the thing is this, that you have to keep in mind. Israel would cease to war in which she lives. If peace suddenly broke out in Israel and the Palestinians, let me expand that by saying the Arabs, because it's not just the Palestinians that the Israelis have to worry about. Between the Arabs and the Jews, if peace broke out, a lot of Israel's reasons would cease to exist, you see. There has to be this constant conflict in order to maintain control over the Jewish people. The Jewish people are basically raised in an environment of fear from the moment they are born. They are taught this. Tell them, and the only thing standing between them and this terrible end are the Jewish leaders. And so if peace were to bring the Arabs and the Jews, this evil leadership would lose 99% of the control that it holds over these people. So in terms of making concessions, in whether it's Gaza or the West Bank, it's not just the religious the religious reasons that a lot of these people hold on. The anger
In regard to the situation with Iran, what do you see, Mark, as the possibility of a false flag incident? Alrighty. Yeah, getting back to this whole situation again of the $770 million being provided by the United States, supposedly in aid for Lebanon. Be interesting to watch that one in the days ahead. Mark, I was just getting ready to say, when I lost you, I was going to go back to a couple of different things. One is Iran and the whole possibility of a false flag incident. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, since you know a lot about Lebanon, is what should be our understanding of what really happened with the Rafiq Hariri and the Jamal assassinations?
Well, first of all, keep in mind that Syria had there was no benefit to Syria assassinating either of these two individuals. Okay, so as we're looking at this strategically, you know, we have to ask that age-old question, who benefits? And Syria stood to gain nothing by doing this. Now, with that in mind, you know, that should put a question mark in people's thinking as to say, okay, well, if the Syrians didn't stand to benefit from this anyway, then who would? And clearly the answer is obvious. It is America. It is Israel. By this assassination, they were able to achieve what has been one of the goals on the front burner, which is to get the Syrian troops pulled out of southern Lebanon. And just coincidentally, all of this takes place, you know, the pulling out of these Syrian troops, just in time for this Israeli invasion. Okay, so we have to look at this in terms of it being a strategic move. Lebanon has been a thorn in the side for many reasons. For the Israelis, not the least of which has been the fact that she defies many of the things, culturally speaking, that the Jews have tried to put out in terms of what it means to be Muslim and what it means to be Middle Eastern. Lebanon's a very westernized, a very modern, a very affluent country, and this has always been a thorn in the side of the Zionist agenda, the fact that they have the Jews have not been able to paint with a broad brush Middle Easterners as backwards, unenlightened, uneducated. Lebanon has always been something that has defied that. That's number one. Number two, there are great resources in Lebanon that the Israelis need. There's fresh water in the north. There's fertile farmland. And, you know, given the fact, as I said, that Israel is a parasite state and cannot take care of herself without stealing from others, this goes a long way towards explaining this invasion and destruction of Lebanon, not the least of which also is the fact that Lebanon has many, many Christians in it. If you look at a map of the bombing campaign that took place over the summer, predominantly the places that sustained the most damage were Christian villages.
Most interesting, and that doesn't even begin to get into the...
And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
Thank you.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of...
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Back. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest in these final minutes of my show is Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross. Mark, where do you think we're headed in the next 6 months, and what kinds of projects does Crescent and Cross have going? Okay. Well, basically, in these final minutes, we are talking a little bit about Middle Eastern policy. Speaking specifically about the $770 million that the United States has publicly pledged now to Lebanon, talking about some of the other things going on in the world in these final minutes. If you haven't seen it already, there's a new post by Justin Raimondo at antiwar.com entitled "The Feingold Option: How to End the War," and Raimondo says as follows: Senator Russ Feingold may have withdrawn from the presidential sweepstakes, but he has entered the national debate over the Iraq war in a fairly dramatic fashion.
Indeed, he has matched the president's escalation with one of his own by launching hearings scheduled to begin on Tuesday, designed to point out the obvious, that Congress has the power to cut off the funding for the war. He plans to introduce legislation doing just that. Naturally, the piece reporting on this in the new Politico website frames the matter in terms of the conventional wisdom personified by the ultra-conventional Senator Harry Reid, who opines, quote, "Republicans would like this debate to be as whether or not we are going to be cutting off money for the troops. The logical conclusion is that a lot of things can happen. But right now, the most important thing is to tell the president that what he has done with the escalation is wrong, and that's what we are doing, bipartisanly," unquote. Romano goes on to say that Democratic complicity in this futile and increasingly dangerous conflict is only underscored by the weakness of the party's ostensible opposition to it. They say they're against it, but on the other hand, apart from sponsoring non-binding resolutions and posing for the cameras, they refuse to take meaningful action to end it. They can appeal to the president until they're blue in the face, but as Dick Cheney pointed out the other day, that won't stop this White House. What will stop them, of course, is if Congress cuts the purse strings. That's the one and only way, according to Justin Raimondo, to end this senseless policy, because not even Cheney and his pet neocons can wage war without dineros. Like a parent who cuts off an errant teenager's credit card after it's maxed out, Congress can discipline the war makers and ensure we're out of Iraq by voting to make funds unavailable after a certain date. But Reid and his fellow enablers of Republican militarism are quaking in their boots at the prospect, supposedly on the grounds that this will leave the Democrats open to the charge that they've abandoned the troops in the field without bullets, without body armor, and at the mercy of the enemy. That's a lot of malarkey, since the money appropriated for current military operations was voted on and dispersed a while back. Aside from that, however, if our delusional commander-in-chief leaves the troops in Iraq after the cutoff date, then the blame will fall on his shoulders and no one else's. In any case, however, the real reason Democrats are allowing this president to play out his Napoleon complex using American troops as pawns has nothing to do with Reid's lame explanation, and is instead due in large part, albeit not exclusively, to what Wes Clark points to as the decisive influence of New York money, quote-unquote. That brings us full circle to Jennifer Siegel's article in the Jewish Daily Forward the other day, which talked about Wes Clark and the links to New York money on the part of some of the leading politicians in the United States clamoring for war. That brings us back full circle to the Israeli lobby. I'd like to thank Dr. Richard Cummings for being on the show, and also Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross. This is Mark Dankos, America, signing off from San Antonio today on the Republic Broadcasting Network. God bless.
Can we talk?